Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Patanjali Foods Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Dhiraj Mistry from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Mistry.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, all. So on behalf of Antique Stock Broking, I would like to welcome all participants and thank management of Patanjali Foods Limited. We have with us Mr. Sanjeev Asthana, CEO of the company, Kumar Rajesh, CFO, and Chintan Kotak, IR. Without further ado, I would like to hand over call to the management. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Dhiraj. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Thank you for joining us today for Patanjali Foods earnings calls for Q1 financial year 2024. I'm joined by the company's CFO, Mr. Kumar Rajesh, and Investor Relations Advisor, Strategic Growth Advisors, SG. We have uploaded results and press release on the stock exchanges as well as on our company's website. I hope everyone got an opportunity to go through it. We would like to touch upon a few key developments on the company and the industry, post which we will have question and answer session. I'll start with the commentary. Despite the negative macroeconomic environment in Q1 financial year 2024, Patanjali Foods Limited demonstrated a sustained performance across all the financial metrics. Performance of our FMCG segment has been particularly impressive. Our business is going through a tactical shift by focusing on the high-margin FMCG segment. After a stellar performance in the last quarter and FY 2023, we are on way to continue to build on our FMCG growth journey, coupled with the expansion of our legacy businesses and oil palm plantation business. As we navigate the ever-changing business landscape, it is our strategic choice to place a strong emphasis on several key factors to ensure sustained growth and success. First, we recognize the significance of enhancing our product portfolio to be closely aligned with the evolving consumption trends in the country. Additionally, gaining a larger market share is vital, and we aim to achieve this through a two-pronged approach of continuous innovation and effective distribution. Our focus on innovation has been a key driver of our success. In line with our commitment to becoming a leading FMCG company of India, we have introduced several new products under our premiumization drive that cater to the evolving consumer preferences in the last few months. We have made some launches, and allow me to take you through the same. During the quarter, we have revamped our nutraceutical offering and launched branded dry fruit products. Talking about a few more initiatives that we have, Nutrela is one of our strongest brands, evolving as an umbrella FMCG brand for us. The brand extension has been initiated into millet-based food products under Nutrela Max Millet sub-brand. The newly launched includes Ragi Choco cereal, whose pilot launch has received good response with nearly 15% repeat order, and this is just about in the last 45 days we have seen in the previous quarter when the launch was done. This is positive. In nutraceutical business, we have reworked on the complete branding of our sports nutrition products under Nutrela Sports Pack, with better packaging and overall offering. The new launches comprise of six products with 19 SKUs. Our nutraceutical products include whey protein, vitamin capsules, hormone balancing products, collagen builder, OrthoCare, and many other supplements. Nutrela Sports aims to tap into the surging demand in the Indian sports nutrition industry. We have entered into the premium dry fruit market through our launch of Nutrela Max Nuts, which includes premium quality almonds, cashew, pistachio, and walnuts. Through our strategic tie-ups with some of the renowned names such as Wonderful Foods, world's largest player in pistachio, and Mariani Nuts, among the largest players in almonds, and walnuts. We are providing premium, superior dry fruit product at affordable pricing. Our target is to clock a revenue of 1,000 crores in the next 5 years for branded dry fruit category. Patanjali is a leading player in the biscuits industry. The quarterly revenues of biscuits have grown from 276 crores last year to 381.16 crores this year, with a 38.1% year-on-year growth. Last year in biscuits, we clocked a revenue of over 1,200 crores, and we aim to cross 1,500 crores this year. Further to drive our vision for our biscuit segment forward, we have launched the premium range of biscuits of 7-grain, ragi, and digestives, along with the dry fruit wash that we have done. Our new FMCG products offer consumer healthier options without compromising on the taste while reinforcing the principles of Patanjali brand. Further, it helps us market not just as a mass brand, but also cater to the niche premium segment. Looking ahead, our vision for the future revolves around transforming into an all-encompassing FMCG brand with multiple offerings to the consumers. As we embrace a multi-channel growth approach, we have set our sights on expanding beyond borders, and especially to tap key international markets such as UK, US, and Canada, and Middle East. Moreover, we will prioritize building a robust presence in the modern trade outlet, enhancing our e-commerce capabilities to capitalize on the growing online consumer base. By staying attuned to consumer needs, continuously exploring novel avenues, and providing quality products, we are optimistic that our offering shall have positive response from the market, improve the margin profiling of the company, and strengthen our position in the foods and FMCG space. Further, going to the next business, in our oil palm plantation business, which is advantageous for the country, the farmers and the company equally, we have already planted nearly 10 million palm saplings and are planning to plant additional 10 million plant saplings in the next 3 years. And this is the for the entire company. Currently, around 40,000 farmers are associated with Patanjali in the Mission Palm Plantation. In the coming 5 years, we are expecting more than 4 lakh farmers will join hands for the Mission Oil Palm Plantation business. Before we talk about company's performance, I'm happy to share that we have delivered on our promise of meeting the minimum public shareholding norms as one of our promoters, Patanjali Ayurved Limited, offloaded 7% of its holding to an OFS, which received an overwhelming response from the FIIs, QIBs, Global Fund, HNI, and the retail segment. I'm highlighting the Q1 numbers for everyone. Total income stood at 7810.50 crores with a year-on-year growth of about 5.98%. EBITDA stood at 211.99 crores with a margin of 2.71%. The PAT stood at 87.75 crores with a margin of 1.12%. The export turnover was 162.45 crores to 25 countries with a growth of 127.85%. The branded sale comprising of foods in FMCG segment and edible oils stood at INR 5,527.78 crores, nearly 70.78% of the revenue from operations. So overall, in terms of the company's growth, the first quarter has been satisfying. First quarter result is after taking into account also includes 71 crores of expected credit loss provision on long aging debtor as per the Ind AS, which will be reversed in the second quarter, which has already happened. An overview of the segmental revenue. In Q1, the edible oil segment contributed 5890.73 crores to sales, registering a degrowth of 4% on Q1Q basis, but our volumes grew nearly 35%. So it was on the lower price point. The revenues dropped. The segment profit before interest and tax also witnessed degrowth on account of multiple headwinds in the edible oil segment and stood at 146.61 crores negative as compared to 114 crores in the previous quarter. The segment witnessed volume growth of 35.80% as I mentioned earlier. In Q1, food segment contributed 1,952.46 crores to sales, registering an increase of 8.2% Q1Q, with segmental result of 350.58 crores from INR 247.31 crores, registering overall 41.76% growth. The segment recorded an EBITDA of 360.80 crores with an EBITDA margin of close to 18.48%. despite rising inflation levels and macro challenges, by managing the costs more effectively, proactively. Let us understand the performance of each segment and why certain elements came in this quarter. Our foods and FMCG segment is fully aligned to emerging Indian consumption growth to become one of the leaders in this space. The food and FMCG segment has demonstrated an exceptional growth, making a significant contribution of nearly quarter of the company's revenue at 24.84% of our total revenue. This is against 22.7% contribution. It continues to show a growth trend. This growth can be attributed to several factors, such as our established brands, ability to expand into new markets, both domestically and internationally, and unwavering loyalty to our customer base. The segment recorded an EBITDA of 350.80 crores with a margin of 18.48%, which I've already mentioned. Our biscuits business has experienced strong growth in volume and value terms. It clocked a revenue of 381.16 crores with 35% growth and 12% growth on quarter-on-quarter basis. Our marquee brands like Doodh Biscuit recorded 237 crore sales in the quarter. This is up nearly 35% year-on-year. Our Nariyal Biscuits achieved 29 crores, which is up 84% year-on-year, and set to become a INR 100 crore brand in within this year itself. So that the biscuit segment has been growing very impressively. Maintaining the momentum, the business generated 1,354 crores with an EBITDA of 19.7%, the food business. The key products such as Atta recorded a growth of 40% Q&Q. Kesar, medicated juices, dry fruits grew by more than 25% quarter-on-quarter basis. On a sequential basis, nutraceutical business picked up steam and generated a decent revenue of 62 crores. The company is aiming to have its nutraceutical business to be closer to 2,000 crores in the next 5 years. But we have a lot of tasks that on hand to continue maintaining the growth momentum that now has started gaining traction. The edible oil segment is the one which is important in this quarter for the reasons on the slippage in the income. It contributed to nearly 75% of our total revenue. Despite a 4% decline in edible oil income, the year-on-year growth due to lowering of prices, it has happened. We have seen strong volume growth of 35% year-on-year. This quarter, our volume increased by 1.4 lakh metric tons compared to last quarter and stood at 5.5 lakh metric tons. Our premium oil volume grew by 93% to 5,700 tons. And our monthly edible oil volumes were the largest ever. We nearly did 1.5 lakh tons of volumes. The edible oil industry is known for its volatility. It poses certain unpredictable challenges. Is significantly influenced by multiple macro factors, which have less to do with India, but includes geopolitical situations, wars, seasonal behavior, the monsoons, and global markets. In the month of April and May, the cash and future pair, just explaining what exactly occurred in the edible oil segment. In the month of April and May, the cash and futures price on BMD and CBOT exchanges, the overseas exchanges where we hedge, the oil and oil palm and soy oil markets were moving very much in tandem and in line. However, in June, the price movement between the cash markets in India and the futures prices were very divergent, where the future prices outperformed the cash prices by almost 12 to 14%. To give you a flavor, that 31st of May, which was the beginning of the month, the futures market, as we saw, was $725 in palm, and soya it was $850. A month later, the palm prices from $725 moved to almost $855, and soya prices moved from $850 to $1,040. Whereas the physical prices in India, palm was 80,000 rupees a ton, it just moved to 83,000 rupees a ton. Soya oil was 82,000 rupees a ton, it moved to just 90,000 rupees a ton. And sun, which was 81,000 rupees a ton, it moved to 86,000 rupees a ton. So what occurred was that the normal gain against the hedge, which should accrue on the physical positions in India, actually did not accrue as much. But the futures prices, on account of the hedges that we had taken, because there was a drop in prices of overall almost 10%, there we lost money on the futures prices. So this has been one of the major reasons in terms of as a factor, which has had an impact in terms of the oil P&L. we kept churning our position in terms of the good systems, good practices that ought to be followed. And this has an impact both in terms of the book losses as well as on the mark-to-market carried forward losses that we had to face. From July 1st onwards, the markets have been relatively normal as far as palm prices are concerned. However, the prices have moved, and the prices have moved in tandem with almost 2% down on both the platforms. Soya prices have been erratic, with CBOT rising nearly 6%, and the cash prices in India remaining pretty much flat. The company continues to strategize on an ongoing basis. We move our positions around to keep aligning it to the market prices. Our risk management systems are very robust and very strong. We build up the hedges as and when the market goes up. The company has maintained a hedge ratio of nearly 30% of the overall position, and we continue to remain confident that what has occurred in the quarter one would get neutralized over the next three quarters, and the business has to be viewed in those lines. Our oil palm plantation business, which is largest in the country, is also performing exceedingly well. The total revenues have been almost 278 crores with an EBITDA margin of 16.44%. During the quarter, we signed MOU with Government of Telangana for establishing an oil palm integrated park with a seed garden, R&D center, a state-of-the-art palm oil refinery. Also, we have set up 11 new nurseries, which have been set up. 8 have been in Northeast and 3 in rest of India. There is a 30 tons per hour of oil mill expansion plant at Peddapuram, Andhra Pradesh, continues to be at pace, and it has been added over for operations. The way the business structure, it is positive for the company's future with almost consistent annuity business with a healthy margin. I'm coming to distribution now. Our multi-channel distribution network expansion is crucial to our growth. By expanding our reach, we are catering to more consumers and continue to improve our market presence. Looking ahead, we are poised to embrace the promising consumption growth story of India, propelling us towards future of unparalleled success. Our strategic vision is very much around sustainable EBITDA expansion, laying the foundation for robust financial growth and stability. To achieve this, we are committed to driving premiumization drive in our consumer businesses, catering not only to the masses, but also capturing the discerning classes and the emerging middle class in India, which is looking for premium offering. Furthermore, we recognize the immense potential of the oil palm segment and in this steady state. As a significant driver of growth, this segment presents an opportunity to capitalize on market demand while contributing to the overall sustainability of our operation. I'm coming to the last 1 minute. Our commitment to sustainability remains unwavering. We continue to prioritize environment-friendly practices throughout our operation and are dedicated to minimize our impact on the planet through efforts such as use of wind power, water harvesting, reuse, cycle, while delivering high-quality promise to a consumer. As a company, we have got ambitious targets, and over the next 5 years, they've been laid out in multiple different calls in earlier years. In terms of margin profile, our aim is very clearly that 80% of our income should be derived from our foods and FMCG segment, which we are working diligently to accomplish. Let us open now the floor for the Q&A. Thank you everyone for joining us today on the call. Should you have any further queries, please contact SGA, our investor relations advisors. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and 1 on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants may press star and 1 to ask questions. We'll take the first question from the line of Shirish Pardeshi from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. Two questions in the beginning. What is your near-term palm oil outlook? And do you think we will get benefited going forward because the inventory will get depleted very soon?
So in terms of the outlook, the markets have tended to be more aligned now, and it's getting traction in the domestic market. We are heading into the festival season. In normal times, both the demand is an uptick, as well as the prices tend to, the demand side tends to sort of give support to the prices. So I'm expecting that the prices should tend to benefit. And in the palm oil segment, we are already witnessing a surge in industrial usage because the Diwali demand, typically the festival season demand, tends to be advanced by nearly 45 days. So we are expecting the market to improve. And so that is one part. So the second part in terms of the outlook, the market tends to follow a lot with the cue from the larger edible oil complex itself, which is around soya and sun also. And so we'll have to wait and watch in terms of how the palm oil prices go. But for us, what is important is that the markets have to move in tandem in terms of both the futures and the physical prices in India. So it should be positive, and it is gaining substantial alignment as we speak now.
Just one follow-up. Do you mean to say that the price will remain inflationary or move here from here up?
It is, that's exactly what I'm saying, that the futures market in BMD as well as in the cash market, the market is tending to get better with the ensuing festival demand. So yes, prices should start to look up.
So directly, it should help us in quarter two onwards to improve our scale and also the margin.
Yeah, so the driver, as I was mentioning earlier, that the since you asked the question, the edible oil business typically has to be seen in a longer term continuum, because there would be sort of windows in which or a period of instability in the global market, and because of the accounting norms and the reporting that we have to do quarter on quarter. So many a times that you have to account for both in terms of the, the mark to market that gets accounted for, but tends to even out over a period of time. So certainly in quarter two, it should be better than quarter one. And we're expecting as the demand continues to look up, I think it should be significantly better results that we should see in this quarter.
Sure. My second and last question on the biscuits and confectionery and on the premium dry fruits. So would you be able to strip out what is the specific growth you have seen on quarter-on-quarter in these two businesses? And when you mean to say that the scale-up of 1 million, do you think these are the primarily top outlets we are covering, or we are scaling up across Tier 1 and Tier 2, Tier 3 markets also?
So two parts to answer your biscuit question. We are seeing a very robust growth. So compared to last year, we almost saw 38% growth. And the revenues this quarter, as I mentioned, are 381 crores versus 276 crores last year, and they've grown 14%. So we are seeing a very strong growth across the range of biscuit offerings that we have, and there's a surge in demand for specific brands within that, like Doodh Biscuit and Nariyal Biscuit. The new launches that we have done are also gaining traction, which is of course very early, but we are seeing the repeat orders. It is driven by two core strategies that we have. So one is on the distribution expansion. So several sort of spaces which were almost white or were less covered, that coverage continues apace. So a lot of it is smaller towns, and the focus is a lot more, while urban areas tend to have a very solid demand, but we want to expand that. And the mix of offering that we have for the urban areas, especially the larger city, is undergoing a change, and which is what the core work is right now going on. And the mix of, for example, the premium biscuit that we have offered, the biscuits within our portfolio, which tend to have a larger sort of consumption pattern in the large and urban sort of areas, that big focus is going on in terms of expanding our distribution to urban areas. So the idea is that our margin on the biscuits business was about 10.1%. The idea is that we move up the the margin construct of the biscuit business by higher price point products and more sort of brands which are appealing to to the consumers who are looking for that offering. So that is one part. On the dry fruit side, Patanjali is already doing the dry fruits. We are working right now on a strategy to give a premium offering on the dry fruits as well as the mass market side, and continue to evolve and develop it in a way that the offering is more wide-based, because we're witnessing a strong growth across all the segments. So we're working on supply chains. As I mentioned, that we've tied up with very large sort of suppliers out of the U.S. We're looking at more suppliers as they're coming on stream, and building up a supply chain capability. And the offering, the launch, we've already done in the Max Nutrilla Max Max, so that you will see on the shelves now. And we are pretty confident that this category will be one of the larger categories. We are going to expand the range by offering the coated offerings and flavors. We're looking at dates to be added very quickly to the portfolio. So we're pretty confident on dry fruits as a category within the foods for a longer term sort of growth momentum.
Thank you, and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one now. We'll take the next question from the line of Akhilesh Bagri from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Initially, I would like to congratulate you and the team for a very healthy performance on the foods business. But unfortunately, this edible oil business seems to extend a lot of volatility in our numbers. So I wanted to get your thoughts on what synergies exist between the edible oil business and our foods business, and whether these businesses could be separated going ahead, because every now and then, in some quarter or the other, this business may take away the attention from the performance of the foods business.
That's a great question, and I just want to highlight that edible oils as a business is a good business. And because of the reporting sort of timelines that the companies have to follow every quarter end, which I sort of spoke during the call also. So many times there's a lag between how the markets respond and where the markets are headed. So for example, that if the prices are rising, the domestic, and there are three elements to the way prices operate. One is the domestic Indian market prices that we have. Second is the international market, the physical market, from where almost 70% of countries' requirements are imported. And third is how the futures market behave. Because of the lag in the sort of timing of each of them, there might be windows in which the market may give you a shock, market may sort of tend to give you a lower, sort of by the margin, or maybe also may mean a negative performance. But it evens out over a longer term window always. So as I mentioned in my call, that the performance of quarter one will certainly tend to even out. We are pretty confident that we'll meet the objective that we set out for the edible oil business. But coming back to the more important question, that does it fit into our foods business strategically? It does very well, because there are two parts. There's a lot of commonality of distribution that we have. In the urban areas, while a lot of oil sells to Kirana stores and sells to B2B, but our 80% business of ours is almost in the branded form. And most of the brands are selling through where India consumes, whether it's the modern trade, whether it is e-commerce in a smaller way, or it is the Kirana stores, or multiple different channels through which the oils are selling. So there's a lot of synergy that we have between the two. And both in terms of the return on capital that the business generates, in terms of cash flow that it sort of allows us, the strength company has, and the way we have been growing, because there's a lot of consolidation which is happening as well. So our growth momentum on volume terms of nearly 30% plus that you've seen, typically Indian market is growing between 3 and 4% or 3 and 5% occasionally. to our growth, which means that we are taking the share away from smaller players. So this will take some time, but this consolidation in the longer term will be very helpful for companies' longer term growth momentum. So I feel that not only should we stay with the business, but we should continue to expand and make it a more predictable one.
Thank you for your answer. Going on the same topic, could you also elaborate between the linkage between our oil palm business and the edible oil business as follows? How much percentage of the overall edible oil business is from palm oil? And as on date, how much percentage of the palm required for that business are we getting from our own nurseries and our own palm plantation?
Sure. So oil palm plantation, we nearly get about currently, if I were to do the numbers, we get about 10% from our own oil palm plantation that we have in the edible oil segment. And going forward, in the fullness of time, when we have the entire 500,000 tons planted, I'm expecting that nearly 70% will come to our oil palm plantation business of the palm oil requirement. Now, why is it critical that the integration of the two businesses is important? That not only on a standalone basis, the oil palm plantation is a consistent generator of between 16 to 18% of EBITDA, but when you look at the synergies of directly servicing our domestic requirement, there is a lot of value in integrating that with our refinery business, then the consumer business, the branded business, the house sales. So the vertical integration in a lot of ways brings in added efficiency and added value for the company. So both the things are very synergistic. Standalone oil palm plantation businesses in India certainly will struggle. And while they may make margin, but their ability to leverage the margin for expanded growth on the overall business itself will always be limited as a standalone player.
Will it be fair to say that as more and more share of the palm oil business comes from our plantations, the volatility in our overall business would also reduce because you would have, a certain cost base for the oil palm plantations, which will not be as volatile as the palm oil prices are every quarter and every month.
That is correct. And but I just want to highlight one important point. So to your first point, whether it will reduce the volatility and otherwise, absolutely. But the way business is run, that the higher the oil palm prices, the better off it is for the oil palm business, which may or may not necessarily be very good for the edible oil segment. So having said that, in general, I would expect that the more we have the predictable, the domestically sourced palm oil, it will have a significant value add for the company because we'll be less exposed to global uncertainty. And it will assure, on an integrated basis, much better margin construct.
And this 70% figure which you mentioned, is that possible by FY27 or by when are we targeting?
By FY27, this will have actually gradual increase every year. But this should take almost 7 to 8 years before we can expect 70% of oil palm plantation to start coming in. It will be probably closer to 55% in year 7. It will build up. But in year 10 onwards, it will be nearly 70%.
Thank you, sir, for the
answer. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Bharat C. Shah from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yes. Astanaji, continuing from the previous question, strategically, how do we see long-term the construct of the edible oil business? What kind of likely growth rate, margins in a more normalized basis that should prevail? I understand that last year has been a particularly unusual period, second quarter of the last year, and through that period, even till last quarter, the picture has been somewhat volatile. But on a more normalized basis, how do we see the long-term construct of the business? What kind of margins? What kind of growth rate for the industry, and what kind of the growth rate for us? And therefore, what kind of return on capital employed in a more normalized basis we expect to earn?
So I'll start with the last question first. In terms of return on capital employed, it's a good business because there are nearly 6 to 7 turns we can take on the working capital deployment. And the business at 3% with 7% is nearly 21% return on capital employed. But I would say that let's take it at even 3% and 6%. It's about 18% return on capital, which is a good business to be in. That's what I've repeatedly sort of said before also, that edible oil business in a particular quarter on absolute terms may give a shock once in a while and may not be consistent because of the way the reporting is done. But overall, from a return on capital, from the distribution structure that is in place, from the opportunity of a steady cash flow that it provides, and our long-standing strength in this business of a long legacy of Vichisoya, erstwhile Vichisoya, and now Patanjali Foods, the consolidation in the industry because of the larger working capital sort of requirement that the edible oil business has, the need for brand and distribution, having large teams, etc. There is a consolidation which is being witnessed in the edible oil space. That tends to help all the larger companies, and we are also beneficiaries of that, which is reflected in the volumes that are growing. Coming to the growth rate of the industry, in general, the growth rate has been between 3 and 5%. There have been occasional windows, especially during COVID times, when it was flat to marginally negative. But overall, I expect with the growth in country's population, the current place at which India is placed on the average consumption per capita, and the way we've got examples of US, which is of course very evolved and developed, but if you were to take China as well, and there is a substantial sort of headroom for growth in the edible oil segment, and we wish to grow, and so we are not growing the volumes at the cost of profits. So we want to keep a pace on the volume terms, and which is why you would notice that the longer term revenue projections and all that, we are neutralizing the edible oil revenues and only looking at the volumes and ensuring that our FMCG businesses tend to are the ones which are focused in terms of the revenue growth. The margin construct, as I've repeatedly said, this business is good for between 2 and 4% of margin. And in a good quarter, it can be 4%. We've earned up to 8 and 10% also, but those are outliers consistently for 2 years when the markets were on a growth momentum overall worldwide. We also benefited. And there have been periods when the market, we've lost money also. But overall basis, it would be safe to assume that in a year's time, between 2 to 4% is a good number to go with. And even this quarter, the change that you saw and a drop in margin, we are reasonably confident of covering it back during the year. So I would only urge, the way we look at businesses, that we would work on the strategy, not forced by the quarter end sort of numbers what are coming out, but ensuring that the predictability of margin over a period of time is ensured, that we don't have any major shocks in how we manage the business.
No, so I was looking at over last 11 quarters of the margins. So clearly, what you are saying is right. Last year, second quarter was the one which was a rude shock where the margins were badly impacted and were negative. And the first quarter of the current year has been a second period. So in the 11 quarters that I've seen, that has been the case. I presume these last 1 year probably is more unusual. And on a more normalized long-term basis, this kind of high frequency fluctuation probably is not the normal character of the business. Am I right in understanding that?
That is absolutely right. The last year, quarter two, was unprecedented. It was nearly a it happened after three decades, this kind of volatility, which was not witnessed before. And all the global players, I mean, the best of companies globally, the largest companies in the world, got the shock, in terms of the way markets reacted. And this was very little in control with the companies could have had. The actions on regulatory actions in Indonesia, the war in Russia, Ukraine, etc., it happened. Even this quarter is pretty exceptional because with the pace at which the futures market tended to move up, and the domestic markets on account of supply and demand were at a lag, this happened. But I would say that these are more instances of certain windows in which this may occur. But in normal course, over 3 years, you would have seen companies perform like Patanjali Foods itself, that we did not have any particular quarter in which there was such an unprecedented change in the markets moving in very divergently compared to each other. So there is a tends to be a some bit of correlation. The correlation in certain windows is very strong, in other windows is less strong. But that is a part of the science of managing the business and also the art of managing the business and the experience that comes in. So we feel pretty comfortable in where we stand right now and feel reasonably comfortable to say that by the year end, we should have normalized this first quarter results and should be pretty much on pace for the growth plan that the company has.
I see. Which means if we have to make a long-term kind of a model of the business, then industry growth rate about 3-5%. Our record and our ambition is to do better than that, so maybe presumably 5-7%. Will that be a fair number for our growth rate?
That's right.
So if it is 5-7% growth rate with the margins normally ranging between 3-4%, in fact, in year of fiscal 2021-22, each of the quarters that I saw, the margins were in excess of 4%. So basically, take 3-4% kind of a margin. And with a scale over a period of time, some amount of maybe improvement. Therefore, return on capital employed at 7x turn should be somewhere in the vicinity of 21-28%. Will that be a kind of a fair summary of long-term future, plus the fact that we will be integrating our own palm oil more and more into the mix? And therefore, even if there is some volatility at some stage, there'll be, let's say, corresponding neutralizing factor in the internal palm production. So relative more stability going forward and margin construct and the ROC in that band. Is that kind of a picture we can kind of build into the model?
I would say that that would be the fair reflection of the numbers, Bharat. And we are pretty convinced that, and not just convinced, that the business has intrinsic value for players who are large, for players who've got distribution. With infrastructure that we have built over a period of time and the inherent nature of the business. So again, 21% return on capital, margin construct of anywhere between 2-4%, you are saying 3% is the midpoint, that's reasonable assumption to make. And the integration of the palm oil business, especially with the oil palm plantation, progressively as we go forward, is going to benefit the company immensely. And this is something that we are striving for as well, to bring about that level of predictability that you speak about in terms of the business models. The only thing I would say here, the caveat is that there might be windows in which a month or 2 months or 3 months, 1 quarter in a year, which would give us some divergence in terms of the predictability, unlike an FMCG segment, will give us that change and which we have to deal and manage. I think that is the only part I would say. But overall, in a year's time, that if you look at a 12-month window, we should be pretty consistent with what you just now said.
One last question. You, while talking, your voice was not very clear, so I did not probably fully understand. But you mentioned that there were some 71 or 72 crore of credit losses, and which have been reversed in the current quarter. Is that what you said? Can you explain that a little better?
What happened was that on account of the Ind AS standards, that out of our debtors, we had to take 71 crores of expected credit loss in the books. So our actual P&L should have been higher by 71 crores. But because of this reason of Ind AS and the regulations, we had to take that into account. So that was just an accounting entry that had to be done at the quarter end, which has been reversed in this quarter. We are expecting this change to be nearly between 63 and 65 crores, which is already written back in the books of accounts in this quarter.
Oh, I see. So it was ECL based on Ind AS that you had written off.
Yes. Brother, I would like to clarify it. As per Ind AS requirement, we have to define the defined credit policy for the customers. And we have defined in the books a particular credit period for our customers. And you can say the payment has been received slightly delayed by 2 or 3 days, not on 30th of June. That's why, as per Ind AS requirement, we have to provided the expected credit loss. This payment has been received in the month of July itself, and we are going to reverse it as per law, as per accounting standards. So this is the fact.
Yeah, thank you, Rajesh. Thank you, Ashtar.
Thank you,
Bharat. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Participants who wishes to ask questions may press star and 1. We'll take the next question from the line of Kuldeep Gangwar from ASK Investment Manager. Please go ahead.
Just regarding this credit loss part, when you are recovering that number, it will be part of other income or any other line item?
Rajiji?
This is part of other income, basically included in the other... No. This is right now included in the other expenses, and while reversing, while reversing, it will include in the operational income, not in a part of other income.
Operational income, okay.
Yeah.
Second part, can you please provide the breakup of FMCG business sales and margin in the major subcategories in Q1 FY 24?
So, Rajiji, you are giving or I can give as well?
You can give, sir. No issue.
Okay. So, in terms of breakup of the FMCG business, our, in terms of the Nutrella, which is a soya proteins, it is 155 crores. There's a growth of 3%. In the foods division, we did 1,354 crores. Last year, of course, this business was not with us, so it is against that backdrop. The biscuits did a revenue of 381 crores. This is against 276 crores last year in the same quarter. And nutraceuticals did 62 crores in this quarter.
And how was the margin profile across categories?
So the margin profile in each category, in the soya protein business, we made 13% margin. This was at 20 crores of EBITDA. Food division, we did 266 crores, which was 19.71%. Biscuits, we did 39 crores. And nutraceuticals, we made 36 crores.
And what should be the full year expectation overall from the FMCG business in revenue and the margin profile?
It's pretty much on course for that. I think our target always, as you mentioned, is between 16 and 18%. We're doing right now better than that. because there have been some positive wins that we have got. But overall, I think looks like that we might be closer to 18% plus than below that.
So I'm saying Q1 FY24 sales in FMCG business can be analyzed, or is there any seasonality in that particular business?
There is some seasonality. So very clearly, like for example, the nutraceutical and biscuits would not have. Soya protein business have marginal seasonality, and the food business will have. So for example, in the festival season, their sales tends to pick up, and a lot of these products are meant for sort of winter months. There are products which are meant for summer months. So there would be some bit of seasonality there, but not any dramatic seasonality.
Okay. And is there any seasonality in oil plantation business?
There is a high seasonality. So there are periods in which, in some quarters, when the harvesting of the fresh fruit bunches happens, so you will get in certain months much higher, and that's what automatically translates into the yield. But overall, so yes, it will have in about 6 months when the harvest is happening, we'll have peak sort of lot more revenues and the EBITDA getting generated. And in the other quarters, the EBITDA will tend to be lower. But overall, margin construct of, again, as I mentioned, 16 to 18% is a pretty consistent margin and very safe to always take in our calculation on our palm plantation business.
So which are those quarters where higher contribution from oil plantation comes into the picture?
So this quarter is will be higher contribution, and as we are getting into the harvest season, as well as it will just go forward into the next quarter as well.
Sure. And you were mentioning about the edible oil business margin. So full year basis, can we still assume that it's a 2 to 4% range is doable for full year basis in edible oil business?
We feel confident, Kuldeep, as I just mentioned in quite detail, that the targeted margin construct of between 2 and 4%. So we are still pretty much, we feel confident that the full year between 2 and 4%, we should be able to sort of generate EBITDA margin in the edible oil business.
And sir, depreciation has increased from 43 crore last quarter to 58 crore in Q1 FY24. What are the reason for the same, and what should be the going run rate for coming quarters?
Okay, so I think the run rate typically has marginally gone up on the depreciation side because we've acquired certain other assets, and there the depreciation has been taken in this quarter. But normally, I think during the year, we should have close to about 170 to 180 crores of depreciation. I can Kuldeep get you the exact number. Right now, we're not sitting opposite each other.
I am on the line.
Okay, Kuldeep had a question on depreciation.
Rajesh, this depreciation figure increased from 43 crores to 68 crores in Q1 FY24. So, reasons and what should expect, what we should expect going forward?
Actually, this depreciation, we have made some alignment. The asset which are lying in our fixed assets register for pre-CIRP period was revalued during the CIRP period, and right now we have aligned this with the Companies Act. So depreciation has been increased by 28 crore for this quarter, and near about 10 crores of depreciation is additional in this quarter. So going forward, this will increase by 15 crore from the past quarters, as compared to the past quarters.
So coming quarters, 50 crore should be the run rate ballpark in next 2-3 quarters, right?
Yeah. 15 crore will be increased.
Okay, sure. And last bit, like distribution reach currently, and what should be the target in next couple of years?
So broadly, we had, as I mentioned, that in our presentation earlier, that we currently have 1.5 million retail outlets which we reach directly in all the businesses combined. There is an indirect reach that we have, close to nearly a million retail outlets, and the target is that we are on continuous expansion path, as I mentioned, in the biscuits and nutraceuticals. So we're adding distribution outlets at the rate of nearly between 10 and 15,000 every month. And so that work is going on. Much larger part of the work is going on in the biscuits business. Nutraceuticals is more special, more sort of different strategies being followed. Our focus is a lot more on the e-commerce and D2C. So it's safe to assume that we add every year anywhere between 150 to 200,000 retail outlets in our reach.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Akhilesh Bakri, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the follow-up. Sir, one suggestion, if you could include this category-wise revenue and EBITDA margin on the food business in your result release itself, it would be helpful for everyone for comparison's sake. And my question is, this 71 crore credit loss which you mentioned, which will get reversed, was it for the oil segment or was it for the foods business?
This was for the foods business, but Rajeshji, you can elaborate.
Majority is from the food business.
Fair to say that the EBITDA then for this quarter for the foods business would have been higher by almost 50-60 crores actually?
Yes.
So actually our EBITDA margins would be even higher than what we have reported currently on the foods business?
Basically you can't say like that because this is a penal interest which we this is a penal clause which requires the treatment of expected credit loss. So operationally if it would not be there, this has been thrown into the other expenses, so EBITDA margin could be higher if we consider that. So, up to some extent relating to the food business.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjeev Asthana, CEO, Patanjali Foods Limited, for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
So thank you very much for patiently listening to to our sort of result for the investor. We continue to work towards stabilizing the sort of margins in the edible oil business, where the focus and target is on managing the risks to ensuring that we maintain our steady pace of the commitments that we're making. The company continues to strive and work towards the FMCG businesses, and we're quite pleased with the progress. There are a slew of launches that we have lined up. We'll continue to work on those. And the suggestions that we give in terms of reporting and giving out better quality reporting, we treat it with a lot of respect and carefully we'll consider, and we'll certainly start making it better and which is more consistent with the requirement the market has. Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Antique Stock Broking Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.